syracuse.gov. Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Number one this week on the Talkers Radio Countdown, China. The visit of the president, the Chinese president to the United States, our relationships with them, and discussions with our president.
I think it is pretty safe to assume that some of those issues are not issues that China wishes to speak about and the president brings up because they are important to our standing in the world and our relationship with the Chinese, and I expect him to continue to do so. This is, again, we have a cooperative but a competitive relationship with China. As in many bilateral relationships, we have we see the benefits of that, and we understand the difficult challenges that lie ahead.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show is on the air as we look in this hour at the visit of the Chinese president or premier, leader of China anyway, coming to the United States. Preparations being made. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs there, who's still sticking around even though he's going to leave fairly soon to help run the re-election campaign for Mr. Obama. There, he focuses on a number of issues that he said have to be worked out between the two countries. The Chinese President Hu Jintao, being in the U.S. for a four-day state visit, peppered by U.S. complaints about Beijing's currency policies, but sweetened by $8.5 billion in business deals announced during the visit. Analysts are calling the visit the most important by any Chinese leader in 30 years, given China's growing military and diplomatic influence, its emergence as a world economy, the second largest economy, as a matter of fact, and that'll be part of our discussion here in this hour of the countdown. You can join us at 800-510-8255. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, admitting that distrust lingers between the U.S. and China, she hopes that these talks will lead to transparency.
I would be the first to admit that distrust lingers on both sides. The United States and the international community have watched China's efforts to modernize and expand its military, and we have sought clarity as to its intentions. As Secretary Gates stressed in Beijing this week, both sides would benefit from sustained and substantive military-to-military engagement that increases transparency. I know that many in China, not just in the government, but in the population at large, resent or reject our advocacy of human rights as an intrusion on sovereignty. But as a founding member of the United Nations, China has committed to respecting the rights of all its citizens. These are universal rights recognized by the international community. So in our discussions with Chinese officials, we reiterate our call for the release of Liu Xiaobo and the many other political prisoners in China, including those under house arrest and those enduring enforced disappearances, such as Gao Xircheng. We urge China to protect the rights of minorities in Tibet and Xinjiang.
800-510-8255. Email to Doug at DougSteffen.com. Our focus here in this hour, the relationship between China and the United States and the visitation of the Chinese leader. What do we expect to get out of it? What do you think of the Chinese? Do you think we ought to be trusting them? And for those of you who buy lots of things at Walmart, how about the business that we do with China, the continuing problems that we have with their products? Here is Connell McShane from Fox speaking with author Gordon Chang. Chang says it's time for President Obama to play hardball with the Chinese leader.
How should President Obama handle this, in your view?
Well, I think that he's handling it in all the wrong way. He's pursuing Hu Jintao. He's giving him the state visit, 21-gun salute, state dinner. That's just making the Chinese more arrogant. And as they become more arrogant, they become more difficult to deal with. It's like high school dating. You know, the more you pursue the girl, the more she pulls back.
Well, it's interesting because I remember when I talked to some people in China when I went there last year, and they were saying that early in the Obama presidency, he took some of the wrong steps in doing the opposite. In other words, his meeting with the Dalai Lama, in their view, was a mistake because it was taken the wrong way by the Chinese leaders and what have you. But you're saying he should go backwards and act tougher as opposed to be conciliatory.
Yeah, President Obama met the Dalai Lama in, I think, February 2009 or something like
right.
that. Before that, Secretary Clinton sent out a very conciliatory signal. And essentially what happened is the Chinese became very belligerent right after it. Jeff Bader, National Security Advisor, sent out another conciliatory signal. November 2009, President Obama had this incredibly bad summit in Beijing. And that's after that, then President Obama met the Dalai Lama.
Take on Chinese arrogance as you see it. How do you do that?
Well, there's a number of things. You just sort of treat them like an ordinary country. In other words, we have all of these ongoing dialogues with the Chinese. We treat them specially, and we're creating these perverse incentives because the Chinese act badly. Well, we reward them. So they continue irresponsible conduct. We reward them still more.
Ordinary, quote-unquote, ordinary countries own as much of our debt as China does.
But that I don't think really is a weapon because you got to look at the way the global markets work. You know, the Chinese have been threatening to dump our debt since August 2007, and they never do it, and they don't do it because it works, because if they dumped our debt, they got to buy something.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack knocked over a candlestick onto the shag carpeting, and his pants ignited into flames, causing him to stop, drop, and roll. Luckily, Jack recently had Geico help him with renter's insurance, because all his belongings went up in flames. Jack got full replacement and now has new pants he ordered from Banana Republic. Visit Geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Real people, real nasal congestion.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I have been congested for the last 10 days, and it is so frustrating.
Would you like to give Afrinasal Spray a try?
I would.
As soon as you feel any difference, let me know.
Just 45 seconds later.
Wow. I can breathe through my nose. Afrin has made me happy. Is that a silly statement? I would absolutely recommend Afrin to others.
Afrin starts working in seconds. Why suffer? Use as directed.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan.
If you've ever thought about trying Rent-A-Center, now's the time. Pay nothing until February 5th and get brand name appliances, electronics, and furniture with no credit needed. Satisfaction guaranteed.
So let me get this straight. You pay nothing until February 5th? Not even a buck?
Not one.
What about two?
Nope. Free until February 5th, only at Rent-A-Center.
$3.
Quit it.
This is a rental purchase transaction. Offer ends February 5th, 2011. Excludes special event rentals. See store for details.
Can you get long-lasting pain relief without taking pills all day?
Yes, with Thermacare heat wraps.
I was surprised. I got real relief without pills.
I could actually feel the real heat of Thermacare relax and unlock my tight muscles.
Over 8 hours, Thermacare is more effective for back pain than the maximum dose of acetaminophen, the medicine in Tylenol.
No pills, no pain, just relief.
Try Thermacare heat wraps. Go to Thermacare.com for a $3 off coupon now. Use as directed.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice, a two-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. Featured are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
Number two on this week's Talk Radio Countdown, the aftermath of the Tucson shooting. On ABC's This Week, Christian Amanpour spoke to Deputy Sheriff Richard Castigar. Castigar says despite the fact that Jared Loughner showed signs of mental illness, there was nothing that could be done under the law.
Campus police at the community college that Jared Lee Loughner attended were deputed to go out and say that, you know, he looked a little bit like he needed some help. There were worries on campus about his demeanor. Why is it that it did not trigger further investigation?
Well, and that has been a very controversial issue this past week.
And a lot of folks have suggested that there were clues to his mental stability. But we're governed by laws, and the laws allow us to do certain things and restrict us from doing other things. And I don't necessarily, as a police professional, question those. As a person, I might. But we're bound by those laws. Those contacts that Jared Loughner had over the past couple of years were actually, there were several, but each one was relatively benign. In their totality, as viewed by law enforcement, they would not rise to the level of causing us to be necessarily concerned about him committing a violent act, because none of the acts were necessarily violent. He was disruptive in a Pima College classroom. And I personally don't want a police state where anybody who's perhaps has an opinion or stands out in their classroom or does something goofy in their classroom gets arrested and then put in some kind of a mental rehab system. I'm not necessarily a proponent of that, but I'm a little bit defensive. Perhaps you can tell that by my tone, that there are others out there. There are criticisms that says, why didn't cops arrest this guy before? Again, we're bound by the law, and the totality of those issues didn't rise to the level that would allow law enforcement to take action.
Well, here's the conundrum here, at least as I get into it at this point in time. There's the blame game going on. That's basically what all of this is, the blame game. These people are going to try to cover their butts one way or the other. Doesn't it annoy you also to have the references, the alleged killer and the suspected killer and the alleged weapon? I mean, come on. Let's deal with reality. This guy did it. That's the gun. And so all of this other stuff is foolishness. So now it's your turn. David is in Pennsylvania, and he's wondering out loud.
Good morning. I have a little bit of experience with mental health issues because my wife suffers. My major question is this: you have to be a danger to yourself or others before you can be committed. It took a long time after I realized my wife was mentally ill until she was able to be committed and get some help. Now I'm unemployed and she doesn't have health insurance, but fortunately, we have caring people here who make her medication possible for us to afford. And I, like I said, my main point is we should figure out another way to have people committed before they become violent. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of this doesn't make any sense, David. Thanks for your call. 800-510-8255. Laura, you're in West Virginia, and you would like to explain your thoughts.
Hi, and I really want to thank you all when I turned this on this morning. This is the major issue I feel is behind what happened in Tucson is the lack of any follow-up and medical treatment for this young man. And I've experienced my ex-husband in and out of the West Virginia mental health system because he does have some income. Although he is now qualified as incompetent and disabled, he owes over $60,000 in medical bills. It's $750 a day when you're voluntarily or involuntarily committed to our state mental hospital. And so he is right now in a facility in Ohio that is a therapeutic farm community. And similar to Mr. Loughner, he's had a lot of animosity towards local public officials. And that lack of anybody at that college, making any recommendations or follow-up, just letting him fall through the cracks, something like this could be averted in the future if people really do potentially keep their eye out for individuals like this.
Taking responsibility and not being a rat, two things that are hard sometimes.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Cyclass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Do you have more than 4 hot flash episodes a day? Do you ever wake up at night soaked in sweat? Do you experience mood swings, heightened emotions, or sometimes feel on the verge of tears? Have you gained more than 5 pounds? Have you lost the energy level you had before menopause? Do you have low libido or no interest at all? If you said yes to any of these questions, you may be suffering with severe menopause symptoms and you qualify to receive a free month supply of Amberin. Amberin is the incredibly effective all-natural solution for menopause relief. It's backed by published clinical trials and 30 years of research. It has helped thousands of women get free from the awful symptoms of menopause. Call now and ask how you can receive 30 days of Amberin free of charge. Free supplies are limited, so go to AmberinTrial.com. That's AmberinTrial.com. Or call 1-800-318-8232. That's 1-800-318-8232. 1-800-318-8232.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Number 3 on this week's Talk Radio Countdown, the House voted to repeal the health care law.
The final vote was 245 to 189, GOP, of course, in charge of the House. But there were some Democrats who voted with the Republicans, which is kind of interesting. There isn't going to be any repeal, but the vote fulfills a Republican campaign pledge from the elections last year, and it also will help to speak to the issue of how to pay for all this, because the Republicans in the House are responsible for money. The House is the initiative body for spending or cutting, and that's where they'll get at this. From Fox News host Bill O'Reilly, looking at the health care debate and who supports what as far as the repeal or how the things are taken about. By the way, I'd be interested as part of this discussion to know how your health insurance, your health care premium has gone up. I looked at mine the other day, $200 a quarter has gone up from last year. And most of it, when I called the company, said, well, it's because of the federal government's mandates. So who thinks that's cool? Here we go with O'Reilly.
When President Obama ran for president, many Americans believed he was a moderate liberal, as his campaign was very short on specifics. Mr. Obama ran on charisma and disenchantment with the Bush administration. For the past 2 years, the president has governed to the left, as we know, spending trillions of dollars trying to convince Americans that his vision of social justice will make America a better country. Because the economy has not improved much despite the enormous spending, Mr. Obama now finds himself on the defensive, and his signature issue, health care reform, is under attack. Most Americans now see Obamacare as a negative, primarily because they are being forced to buy insurance by the government, and they believe health care reform will be chaotic as well as very expensive. Even in the face of repeal, though, Mr. Obama is not backing down. Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee articulated that.
The Fifth Amendment speaks specifically to denying someone their life and liberty without due process. That is what H.R. 2 does, and I rise in opposition to it. This bill is constitutional, and it protects the constitutional rights of those who ask the question, must I die, must my child die, because I am now disallowed from getting insurance?
Must your child die? Hospitals are mandated to treat uninsured people, even if they're in the country illegally. Also, the feds already subsidize medical insurance for the poor. Ms. Lee is hysterical. But there is no question that health insurance companies must have stricter rules, and that is what the Republicans must put into place if they're successful in repealing Obamacare after the president leaves office. While he's in office, Mr. Obama will veto the repeal. The Democratic reaction to the assault on Obamacare in the House is primarily ideological, and some of the rhetoric is absolutely over the top.
They say it's a government takeover of health care, a big lie, just like Goebbels. You say it enough, you repeat the lie, you repeat the lie, you repeat the lie, and eventually people believe it, like blood libel. That's the same kind of thing. The Germans said enough about the Jews, and the people believed it, and you had the Holocaust.
So you can see the intensity on the left, which wants cradle-to-grave entitlements. But liberalism has little momentum at the present. The country is turning to the right. And the vote in the House on Obamacare proves that.
All right. This is really amazing. Listening, the more I listen to this guy, who we've heard from now two or three times already in the first half hour of the discussion, Steve Cohen, the congressman. I actually don't know where he's from, but I'll find out. Maybe somebody in his district is listening to the program, and you can reflect on him and his words. He's part of the problem. There are a lot of problems here, and it would be nice to find a solution. One of the solutions is to work on prevention still, see if the Republicans can fund some preventative care solutions to your health care problems. That would be a good place to start, wouldn't it? Mike, you're in Ohio, and you have a thought, so let's see where we go with this. Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Morning. We just have a heck of a mess there in Washington. It's inconceivable how anybody could even sign a bill or a contract without even reading it. As Nancy Pelosi says, we have to pass it in order to understand what's in it. I would like to have them in Congress sign a contract from us, we the people, sign a contract, stay, you know, and not even read it. I mean, we're in trouble. It's not only the doctors outrageous what they're making, it's the insurance companies. And until we get all the lobbyists out of Washington and climbing in bed with our Congress and our senators, we're in trouble. And from what I'm to understand, there's lobbyists that are already staffers. Listen, the powers that be are not going to let this go down. They've already got it passed. The corporations are so embedded in our Washington, it's ridiculous. The only way anything's going to get done is, I hate to say it, if there is a revolution. People are already starting to get pissed off and losing it. And I'm a veteran, and I'm about fed up with my Washington. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Don't be sorry, sir. A lot of people agree with you. 800-510-8255. Mary, here in New Mexico, listening to the Kiva. Go ahead, ma'am.
I think it needs to be repealed for the simple fact that they did not address some of the really big issues. When they started this whole debate, I contacted nearly every congressman in the 111th Congress with two simple questions. Okay, we're going to have preventive care with no copay in Medicare. Great, wonderful. 30 million more people are going to have access to insurance. Hey, great, wonderful. Now, where are these people going to get care? At the top of the Patient's Bill of Rights that Mr. Garamondi was speaking about last night on the floor should be the right to actually see a doctor. I live in one of the largest counties in New Mexico, the 3rd Congressional District. I wrote letters to every single primary care physician in my whole county, which is actually bigger than a couple of states, I do believe. Not a single one would see me as a patient. Not because I have a complicated medical history, that I would understand, but because of that one silly little word, Medicare.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe 1 decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pumpouts and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe 1 septic solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafe1.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafe1.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe 1, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Number four this week on the countdown, lots of rhetoric, talking back and forth, the ups and downs of the Fairness Doctrine.
Representative James Clyburn calling for the reinstatement of the Fairness Doctrine. He's a congressman from South Carolina. If you don't remember, or you weren't around when this was part of the landscape, it regulated television and radio broadcasters under the oversight of the Federal Communications Commission. Congressman Clyburn has issued a similar call, I think probably about 15 years or so ago. I remember him having said pretty much the same thing after the Oklahoma City bombings. At that time, he singled out the ERA and how they were so powerful on conservative talk radio. G. Gordon Liddy was one of the people that was a part of this discussion and debate. Pretty much at front, it was front and center in it. The doctrine, the Fairness Doctrine, was enacted under President Truman back in 1949. The original intent of the Fairness Doctrine was to ensure that discussion over the airwaves of controversial issues did not exclude a particular point of view. Here's reporter James Rosen with more on the history of the Fairness Doctrine.
Amid all those suggestions that the Tucson massacre had its origins in a hateful climate created by harsh rhetoric and talk radio, a notion rejected flatly by President Obama,
it did not.
One voice, that of Congressman Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, the number three House Democrat, could be heard calling for the return of the Fairness Doctrine, which once regulated broadcasters. Free speech is as free speech does, Clyburn told the Charleston Post and Courier. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater and call it free speech, and some of what I hear and what is being called free speech is worse than that.
President Truman continues to take his daily walks.
Enacted under President Truman, the Fairness Doctrine was designed to ensure equal time for all viewpoints during discussion of controversial issues over the airwaves. Its constitutionality was upheld by the Supreme Court 20 years later, but chiefly on the grounds that there were so few channels at the time.
That just simply isn't the case today. Well, today, there are unlimited number
number of channels or sources of information that the American public has on the internet, through the print media, through other media.
Under President Reagan, the Federal Communications Commission abolished the doctrine, declaring its requirement for broadcasters to give equal time on all issues an unconstitutional abridgment of free speech, although broadcasters are still required to give equal opportunity for airtime to candidates. The Obama White House opposes reinstating the fairness doctrine, as does FCC Commissioner Mignon Clyburn, the congressman's daughter.
The FCC, I believe, is not in the business of censoring speech or content on the basis of political views and opinions.
All right, so there's the story. If you didn't know the history of the fairness doctrine, that's it in a nutshell. Circumstances much different now. We have all these channels on television, all the conversation on the radio. In most communities, there are several talk radio stations that discuss the issues of the day. There are all news stations. In many big cities, there are at least one, if not two. San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York City have a couple of news stations in the 24-hour cable. Come on, let's get with where we are at the moment. It is a very healthy debate, and I'm all for it. The discussion of whether to have, I do not want to squelch the discussion. I do, however, think that reenactment is ludicrous. 800-510-8255. From NPR, Robert Siegel, who does the afternoon edition, speaking with Congressman Clyburn, explaining why it's time to bring back this fairness doctrine.
Is there a danger of going too far in that political language is filled with images of war? A campaign is called a campaign because there were military campaigns before there were political campaigns. Some people say if we do this, we'll end up censoring people to an unfortunate degree.
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily to an unfortunate degree. Would you say is an unfortunate restraint on free speech when a justice said it does not give us the right to yell fire in a crowded theater? I don't think so. And I do believe that people can tell the difference between the sight of a gun and an asterisk. If you want to target a political district, put an asterisk on it. The sight of a gun barrel, I think, carries a different connotation.
Congressman Clyburn, I want to ask you to draw upon your own personal experience in your life. People are commonly saying that the political environment nationwide is today more vitriolic, more toxic than ever. You're an African-American from South Carolina, and you came up at a time when a black man who asserted himself could face really serious consequences, and there was nothing unusual about death threats at that time. Does this really compare to, say, the 1960s in South Carolina?
Well, during the 1960s, we saw the cattle prod. We did see some murders, and they were very, very unfortunate. But we didn't have the Internet back then. We had restraint on speech back then. I came up in a time that the Fairness Doctrine did not allow media outlets to say things about a candidate or a person in public office without giving that person equal time to respond. And I really believe that everybody needs to take a look at where we are pushing things and may need to take a serious step back and evaluate what's going on here.
Why do I think, as I'm listening to him, I'm listening to Jesse Jackson? When you look at the history of it, applies to a time when there was far less ability on the part of the public to get points of view that were discordant. Here's radio host John Gambling speaking with fellow host John DePietro. Gambling's in New York. DePietro is in Providence about the new governor in Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, banning employees, state employees, from appearing on talk radio.
This is the strangest thing I've ever heard of.
This was odd, and it has a real chilling effect when you announce that all state employees are banned from talk radio. And then let's be specific. It's commercial talk radio. And
right, because NPR was included. That was okay.
Yeah, he said that was okay, which was interesting, because Governor Chafee is a graduate of Ivy League Brown University, and he most recently had been lecturing there. But John Gambling, it even goes a step farther than just the ban. When he announced the ban on talk radio, I want to play for you, if you don't mind, just a quick cut.
Sure.
That's even more outrageous, and this was one of the things he used as his reasoning for banning and not only himself but all state employees.
Some of the ratings-driven media outlets just seem to encourage this vitriolic atmosphere that we have, and now we're seeing a sad, sad, tragic event in a deranged individual taking extreme measures and death resulting. It's just it's very, very tragic.
All right, John. So therefore, he has jumped on the bandwagon here, the train that was started by the sheriff in Arizona, accusing people like you and me of being the cause of the shooting and the death in Tucson. Give me a break. It's just ludicrous, that point of view. Didn't he appear not only on your show, but on the other morning shows in Rhode Island when he was running for the governorship?
When he was involved, he would be on, and he certainly was feeling free to spend his money on the different talk shows and reach that audience and did take part in debates. But this is really overarching, and especially, John, as you know, a lot of times we depend on information from state workers regarding different types of fraud that's involved in the government or corruption, and to put out a chilling effect ban and single out talk radio is very harmful.
Real people, real nasal congestion.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I have been congested for the last 10 days, and it is so frustrating.
Would you like to give Afrin Nasal Spray a try?
I would.
As soon as you feel any difference, let me know.
Just 45 seconds later.
Wow. I can breathe through my nose. Afrin has made me happy. Is that a silly statement? I would absolutely recommend Afrin to others.
Afrin starts working in seconds. Why suffer? Use as directed.
Adventurous Americans, maybe you own a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a PWC, or an ATV. Well, FYI, GEICO could save you money on insuring those vehicles. And here's how easy it is. You call GEICO and speak with a specialized agent about all the vehicles you own. The agent crunches the numbers. And if you're like thousands of others, your rate is less than what you pay now. And where I come from, paying less means saving money. Call GEICO today for a free rate quote. GEICO. Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Hi, I'm your heart, and I gotta get something off our chest. It's about our cholesterol, and I'm not speaking just for me, because high cholesterol affects our whole body. So let's ask our doctor about garlic, okay? Garlic's clinically proven ingredient helps maintain healthy cholesterol naturally. That's why pharmacists recommend it most. And unlike other brands, you only have to take one garlic caplet a day, not five or six. Plus, it's tasteless and odor-free. So like they always say, eat right, exercise, garlic. Oh, and use as directed.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan.
If you've ever thought about trying Rent-A-Center, now's the time. Pay nothing until February 5th and get brand name appliances, electronics, and furniture with no credit needed. Satisfaction guaranteed.
So let me get this straight. You pay nothing until February 5th? Not even a buck?
Not one.
What about two?
Nope. Free until February 5th, only at Rent-A-Center.
$3.
Quit it.
This is a rental purchase transaction. Offer ends February 5th, 2011. Excludes special event rentals. See store for details.
My heartburn was like a pilot light in my chest. I never knew when it would flare up. Until I found Zegrid OTC, the only 24-hour frequent heartburn treatment with two active ingredients, a prescription-strength acid blocker, plus an ingredient that protects the medicine from stomach acid. Just one Zegrid OTC capsule a day controlled my pilot light. So if yours keeps flaring up, try dual-ingredient Zegrid OTC.
Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn. Go to ZegridOTC.com for coupon savings.
At Better Oats Oatmeal, we asked ourselves, how can we make the world better? Sky bikes that run on hydrogen? The world's biggest snow cone? Or we could just offer the world better oatmeal. So we got to work. We made instant oatmeal infinitely more awesome. Say hello to Better Oats brand oatmeal with 100% whole grain oats plus real fruit and flax. It's hearty, tasty, and comes in 28 varieties like dark chocolate and chai spiced. It's simply better, and we guarantee it. If you don't think so, we'll give you your money back. Go to BetterOats.com for more information and to find a store near you.
Number five. On this week's Talk Radio Countdown, Republicans and Democrats to sit side by side at the State of the Union address. We go to Colorado Senator Mark Udall, who's asked Democrats and Republicans to get themselves on the same page. Let's not divide up. Let's not have one party here, another party there. He said the tradition of having the party sit on opposite sides of the House chamber is kind of a negative symbol of the outright division in Congress. The separate seating arrangement is only a custom. It certainly is not a rule, and it emphasizes the differences, the divisions, the separations between the parties. President Obama is going to deliver the State of the Union on the 25th of this month. the fourth address to a joint session of the House. I'm looking around at the various bits and pieces here from NBC and from CBS and ABC. Let's start with Fox, though. Shannon Bream speaking with Senator Mark Udall about the idea.
Let me ask you, the events of last Saturday, the fallout, the president's speech since then, how do you think it sets the table now for political dialogue and discourse for Americans?
Those of us in both political parties have been having some quiet conversations this last week, acknowledging to each other that the rhetoric's really gone over the top the last couple of years. And it struck me that we had a chance when the State of the Union is heard in about 10 days for us to change the tenor and sit together on the floor of the House of Representatives and show the country that we're really focused on solving problems and grabbing opportunity. And if anything were to come out of this terrible set of events in Arizona to move the country forward, this would be one way to do it. I come from a family, the Udalls. We've got Democrats and Republicans of all stripes. We're one big family. And I think that's what the American people want to hear about those of us who work in the Congress. This isn't war. This is politics. This is governing. This is the process of running our government. And I think in keeping faith with and respecting those who lost their lives in Arizona, without pointing fingers, we've all been culpable. We've all been responsible for the heated rhetoric. Let's turn that page. And a really symbolic way to do that, an important way to do that, would be to sit together at the State of the Union address in about 10 days.
So, Senator, the letter's out there. The White House is on board, it sounds like, with this. What kind of response are you getting? Is it coming in yet from your colleagues?
I've heard from a number of my colleagues, either publicly or privately, and I'm pleased to tell you that Senators Shaheen and Wyden in my party are on board, and I've gotten indications that Senator Murkowski and Senator McCain also think it's a good idea from the Republican point of view. I can tell you whatever happens when I walk down that center aisle in the House. I served in the House for 10 years, so I know the chamber well. I'll take a right turn and go sit on the Republican side of the aisle for the State of the Union, because we are, after all, there to hear about the state of our union and the state of America. And for me, in the end, we're Americans, and that's really what we've been sent to do in Washington, which is to look out after our country, make some tough decisions, and as Secretary Gibbs said, we can disagree without being disagreeable. That's certainly been one of the credos in my public life.
Wow, where have you heard that before? Disagreeing without being disagreeable. Ooh-wee. 800-510-8255. Email the Doug at DougStephan.com, and or you can join us on Facebook and Twitter with your thoughts in the thread, if you will, of the conversation. Is the realization of bipartisanship about to take off? From Meet the Press on NBC, David Gregory speaks with Senators Chuck Schumer and Tom Coburn. They explain why they have agreed to sit next to each other.
Ron Brownstein writes in his column in the National Journal this week, when political arguments are routinely framed as threats to America's fundamental character, the odds rise that the most disturbed among us will be tempted to resist the governing agenda by any means necessary. It is a description of political discourse and political disagreement as being apocalyptic, having such huge consequence for the direction of the country?
Well, let me say this. I think that, you know, violent discourse in political life, right, left, or center, is wrong and should be rejected. I do think we as elected officials have an obligation to try and tone that down, and if we tone it down, then maybe the media will be less vociferous. Let me give you one example. My colleague, Senator Mark Udall, called for Democrats and Republicans to sit together at the State of the Union. I called up Tom after he did that, and he graciously agreed, we're going to sit together Wednesday night at the State of the Union, and we hope that many others will follow us. Now, that's symbolic, but maybe it just sets a tone and everything gets a little bit more civil. We believe in discourse in America. We believe in strenuous discourse. We don't sweep differences under the rug. Tom and I have real differences, but we can do it civilly. I will say, to Tom's credit, we have disagreed on a whole lot of stuff, but he's always been civil. He's always been a gentleman, and that's an example that people should follow, politicians and the media.
So, Senator Coburn, about sitting together, assuming you're on board with that as well, that is symbolic. But then what message do you hope that sends, and how do you make this a moment that transcends this particular time when everybody's got Congresswoman Giffords on the top of their mind?
Well, I think the key, David, is people go back to motive, and
what we can't question is our president's love for our country, Chuck Schumer's love for our country. Where we get in trouble is when we start looking at motives rather than differences of ideology. And I think where we've had problems in the Senate has been small, but the fact is that always comes about under when people are questioning their motives. I think the people in the Senate love this country. We have vast differences in how we believe what will be the best course for our country, but I believe the questioning of motives is something that ought to be set aside. We don't have the Lincoln-Douglas debate. Some of the problems in our country is we talk past each other, not to each other.
Are you finding this almost sophomoric as I listen to some of these people talk about their differences and sitting together like this was a big deal? These people work together every day, side by side. Isn't it sort of troubling, in a sense, that they are making this much of a deal out of just sitting together at the State of the Union?
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh! We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alli-C. Why Alli-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alli-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alli-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alli-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alli-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alli-C today.
You.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Number 6 on this week's Talk Radio Countdown, the debate over women on the front lines.
Mike McConnell, our talk show host in Chicago, explains his opposition to women being in the frontline circumstances.
See, the problem I have with this is not that I don't think women can do the job. It's that I think we are naturally wired for men to want to take care of women. That if a woman finds herself in a precarious situation, a dangerous situation, that men would likely do something to help save her that they wouldn't necessarily do for another man. You know, he's out there, he's in trouble, I'll get to him. And back to focusing on the mission and focusing on what you're going to do. It's not paternalistic. I'm not saying, you know, we are just naturally wired this way. We just are. If that's a woman over there and she's down, her leg's bleeding, her whatever, and she's writhing in pain, there's something about men that they would probably risk themselves to an unnecessary degree to go help her. And that's why I don't like it. And, you know, who knows what future ground wars are going to be like, just how much of this give and take there's going to be in a military situation. But, no, I couldn't disagree more with this. They examined several key questions, among them the issue of promotion. What's that got to do with it? The quickest, most direct way to rise through the ranks of the military is to succeed in a combat-related assignment. And because women can't get those jobs, the commission concluded the policy ends up limiting their promotion opportunities. So what, we have to get people killed in the name of affirmative action? Moving somebody up the ladder a little bit faster? Those who support changing the policy also point to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, where it can be difficult to distinguish between combat and non-combat positions. In a meeting last September, commission members questioned a number of military women about their experiences, and they pointed out what they liked or didn't like about this. Said a retired Marine Lieutenant Frank Peterson, "Here's my problem. We're talking about ground combat, nose-to-nose with bad guys, living in mud, eating what's on your back, no hygiene, no TV. How many of you have seen how infantrymen, ground troopers, live, and how many of you would volunteer to live like that? It's not just about you, not about you because it's what you want to do and whether you want to get promoted. It's whether or not it makes it more dangerous for somebody else, and I just believe in my gut it absolutely does."
And looking at some more of the quotes from various people on various sides of this issue, combat really is a different kind of environment. One of the staples of combat literature is you never know who's going to be a good soldier until the shooting starts. We know because of the psychological, physiological sex differences, men are more likely to adjust than women in combat. Obviously, I haven't seen some of the women in the mixed martial arts challenges. Jay, you're in Lexington, Kentucky, and you're also on the countdown. What a great combination. What do you think of all of this discussion?
Personally, I don't think they should be in that position. First of all, the physical standpoint, I mean, if the women were equal to men physically, there'd be more in the NFL.
You've never seen... Well, but there are more women in the NFL, the men in the service. I was yesterday I was in El Paso, where Fort Bliss is. I was in a hotel, and in the lobby of the hotel were about 40, 45 men in uniform, and they were all sizes and shapes, as the women become, in some circumstances, much more physically aware, the physical prowess of some women equal or greater than men. Looking in that crowd of 40-some-odd soldiers, I'd say there are plenty of women I know who would be just as big, just as strong, just as able to do what they might in the circumstances that we're describing.
Now, you're also talking about 18-, 19-year-old men, barely out of teenage years. Anything to divert their attention just momentarily is a... risk to their own lives.
Women
also have menstrual cycles, yeah. And there's bathroom issues. It's not like, there's also possibilities of infections, being in foxholes and laying in mud, stuff like that, where a guy don't have necessarily things to worry about like that. Yeah. It's just all part of little things that could cause bigger problems down the line. I mean, I personally wouldn't have any problem with them serving and fighting. I've got no quarrel about that. It's just long deployments, like I said, menstrual cycles, infection possibilities, possibilities of rape if captured, things of that nature.
As that gentleman was suggesting, 18, 19-year-old guys are kids. They are, and that's one of my objections to having 18 and 19-year-olds, because their judgment's not as good. You put them out, they become cannon fodder. Perhaps more maturity would be a good thing. And women, it's proven that women at that age are much more mature psychologically than men are. They are more mature in many different ways. The average 18, 19-year-old man is a kid, a boy, and the average 18, 19-year-old woman is not. There is about 7 years difference in the maturation rate of men and women. So that's something to consider as well, perhaps.